August 24th, 2021, and I will call to order the Pacific City Joint Water and Sanitary Authority Board of Directors special meeting. I will call the roll. Ann Price.
Here.
John Carlton.
Here.
For the record, three of us are present. Tom Donahue is absent, and I guess we're expecting Cameron to join us in a bit. All right. Item three. John, do you want to start us off with the manager's report on each item that there?
Yes. As you all know, we had one of our unvaccinated employees test positive several weeks ago. That employee, as I think you all know, is back to work. I had sent out an email to all the members of the board announcing that person's return to work, and as well as some CDC guidelines that supported that decision. And I am happy to report that that person is fully recovered and doing very well. And but having said that, I do want to inform the board that I got a call from another unvaccinated employee on Sunday night who reported a COVID positive in their household. In addition, that employee reported some COVID-like symptoms, mainly congestion and runny nose. However, I do want to say that this employee has severe seasonal allergy problems, and it's not unusual for this employee to have bouts of congestion and sneezing and allergy-like symptoms. I checked with the employee on yesterday and again this morning, and my concern is this employee is still reporting those same symptoms. Nothing beyond what the employee reported to me on Sunday night, which is just, as I say, congestion, runny nose, and allergy-like symptoms. Of course, the concern is that allergy symptoms and COVID symptoms are often the same. This employee yesterday did get a but this employee did self-administer a rapid test, an antigen test, that came back negative. However, you know, even though rapid tests for the antigen viral proteins are commonly used in a person that is showing potential COVID symptoms, we need something more to hang our hat on. And I have encouraged that employee to go in and get a PCR test, which is the what's commonly referred to as the nucleic acid amplification test. These are the tests that are administered typically at clinics and hospitals and analyzed by a lab, which are more accurate tests. This morning, the employee had not done so, had reported they are planning to do so, but I don't have any more information other than that. Of course, I will contact this employee on a daily basis to continue to get updates. You know, very concerning, hopeful that this the symptoms that this employee is experiencing are indeed allergy symptoms. He reports that the person in their household who did test positive for COVID has been quarantining, and this employee as well is quarantining as well. Of course, reporting to me about this on Sunday night, he will not return to work if a test, a PCR test comes back negative and this person is quarantining, it'll be 14 days from last exposure, which I believe would have been on Saturday. This employee does test positive for COVID. It'll be the same rules as the last employee. It'll be 10 days from the onset of symptoms. But this situation is a little complicated in the fact that this wasn't an encounter with somebody outside the household that caused this infection. This is somebody who is in the household and is still there, although quarantining. However, even being in the same house complicates matters. And we're hopeful that this employee gets a PCR test tomorrow and can confirm the results of the rapid antigen test that he did yesterday, which are negative. And I think I'll pause at that point to see if anybody from the board has any questions.
Yes, Cameron?
Let me catch up. So you guys started the meeting, and we're talking about the one employee that has tested positive, or are we on a possible second employee?
Yeah, the employee that we're aware about that tested positive is back to work and fully recovered.
Oh, okay.
But on Sunday night, I got a phone call from another unvaccinated employee who reported a COVID positive in his household.
Okay.
So if there are no questions, I'll go on to item C. We have, in looking at the numbers in the county, the positivity rates, the rate of hospitalizations, the number of people that are in ICU, we have implemented some additional measures at the authority, which are commonly done in workplaces and have been since this time last year or earlier. We have implemented something that we call a daily employee wellness check, which means that when an employee reports to work, they are immediately checked. Their temperature is checked to see if they have a fever. And they are screened with a couple of basic questions, which are basically, since the last time you reported to work, have you experienced any COVID-like symptoms? And, or have you had exposure to anybody with COVID-like symptoms? And this is, as I say, something that has been done in workplaces. I implemented a program like this back in March of 2020 at my previous employer. This is things that are commonly done. And although it's only a tool, an employee typically has to have a fever of 100.4 or greater to fail this daily wellness check. If an employee fails it, they'll immediately be sent home and asked to remain at home until they can produce a negative COVID test. But I do want to point out that, as we know, COVID impacts people in many different ways, and sometimes people don't even report a fever. And if they do report a fever, it's often a low-grade fever. The standard for a check like this, and it's the standard that has always been used, is 100.4, which seems rather... doesn't really seem conservative to me, let's put it that way. But, you know, this is not designed to be a foolproof measure, but it is just another thing that we've added to our arsenal to try to screen employees and to, you know, just to protect the workplace from COVID. Any questions about that?
Who's conducting the screening?
This screening is conducted by a single person, typically. Rochelle has been that person by default. She's usually the first person to get to work every day. And as employees arrive, as soon as they arrive to work, we check their temperature with a hands-free device. And she verifies the results. And the first person to work also verifies Rochelle's results. And, you know, the process is that you can administer the temperature check yourself, but somebody has to verify the results. And we've got a check sheet. Each employee has their own worksheet. With multiple lines on it where you put the date, the time, the results of the temperature check, the answers to the screening questions, and then the initials of the person that verified the test rating.
John, what do we do on weekends when they have their weekends off? Is there a different questionnaire coming in as far as, I mean, you don't want to get into somebody's personal life of what they do on their weekends. But what you do, and you know, oh, I went to the fair, and then of course there's a high breakout at the fair, or you know, I went to a wedding party, or you know, different things. And everybody has, you know, different things this summer. Or is it a different questionnaire as far as when they come back on their days off?
No, we just asked them the same question. Have you experienced COVID symptoms since the last time you reported to work? Or have you been exposed to anybody you're aware of that has had COVID symptoms since the last time you reported to work? I will say, and I'm sure that many of you already know, the governor has issued another executive order that will require everybody outdoors now, vaccinated or not, to wear a mask if you are in contact with somebody that is not part of your household. And so that means that even outdoor gatherings beginning this Friday, for people to be legal or to adhere to the executive order, everybody will be wearing masks, vaccinated or not, indoors or outdoors. And I think that will probably help on some of those, alleviate some of the concerns from some of these weekend outdoor gatherings.
Yeah. My wife has been home for... it will be 2 weeks Thursday, and the casino extended their shutdown until after the second because they're hoping that this will surpass after the holiday of the Delta. But then, of course, there's always another one coming.
Yeah, it's a very fluid situation. If there's one thing we know since the pandemic hit us, you know, early last year, that change is inevitable. Nothing stays the same. Additional variants are going to emerge. This will be a challenge for people like us to keep up with and to have a good understanding of what to do and when to do it. Even medical professionals and government officials, things are just constantly evolving, and we'll just have to try to adapt and stay up to speed and with all those things, and obviously comply and do our due diligence to try to slow down the spread of this. So if there are no more questions or comments, I'll go on to item D. I think what I'd really like to say here, we have had one additional person get vaccinated. We have had a unvaccinated employee that has had COVID and recovered and presumably has some immunities and some antibodies. I think one of the things I'd like everybody here to know as we head into the next section of the agenda is that early on there was a concern that if we had an outbreak at the authority, it could take out enough people that would drastically reduce our ability to maintain continuity of operations. I do want to say that when you factor in the people that have been vaccinated, already had been vaccinated, the additional employees who's been vaccinated, as well as the unvaccinated employees who have had or do have COVID, and the immunities that come with that, I just want to say that I think we're at a point now where even if we had a COVID outbreak that took out all of our unvaccinated staff at the same time, I do believe that we have enough backup and bench strength and enough people at the authority who have been vaccinated or have some immunity that we will be able to maintain continuity of operations. And I just wanted to say that because if concern about that has influenced our decision making, I don't think that's something that we have to factor in anymore, or certainly not as strongly.
Yes, Cameron?
John, how many are unvaccinated?
Well, I on one hand, I'm starting to get a little concerned about revealing too much information because being a small utility in a small community, the more we talk about numbers that have been vaccinated and not vaccinated, the less I think we preserve employee privacy. But I will say that the number, I reported 40% at the last board meeting, and that number is now less.
So, to go on with it, we've got COVID, then we're going to have Delta, and then we're going to have whatever the next one, I think it's L something. Have you heard any statistics as far as people that have gotten vaccinated, and I've heard this, that the one was better, and people that have had the COVID, what about for these other strains? How the people that have been, we need a booster. What have you heard as far as where the studies have been with that?
Well, I'm no expert, and if people have read some specific information that they remember, please chime in. But my understanding about the various, like the Delta and the other various forms that this may take, there's a lot that's unknown, especially about the variants that are either just emerging or that they are expected to emerge. I do know that they are starting to talk about booster shots. I do know there have been breakthroughs, and I do know that there is some discussion about people who have been vaccinated still being able to be contagious. However, I'm no expert on it. I'm not even sure the experts know for sure. And I would say that if a booster is offered and recommended, I would encourage all the staff to take it. And that's probably the best way I can answer that.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. If there's no questions, that wraps up my manager's report.
Thanks, John. I think that gives us a clear picture of where we're at. So moving on then to COVID-19 employee screening. This was an issue that we discussed at our regular business meeting, and we asked John to look into that. And John, do you want to go ahead and start? I know this is a not an easy topic to talk about because the literature is still incomplete and the words that we're all using out there have different meanings, so I'll let you have the floor.
All right, well, thank you. As you all know, one of the things that came out of the last business board meeting, the board had directed me to do some research into possible employee testing programs. And I just want to let everybody know that I've done a significant amount of research. I've read a lot of documentation online from the CDC and a lot of other technical papers on the subject. Some of you have contributed to that effort, and I want to thank you. I've consulted with the SDAO. I've consulted with our HR counsel. I've consulted with our employment legal counsel. And we've consulted with Gene Johnson, who I think most of you know and has some expertise in this area. And, you know, I'll start by maybe just briefly going over, you know, what our potential options are for such a program. And heading into this, I do want to just point out that without throwing my personal opinion in about this approach, that the CDC is still currently discouraging people from testing non-symptomatic people or people that have not had exposure to known exposure to people with COVID. And so, but I wanted to talk about, you know, the first obvious option is the one that we used after the first employee came down with COVID several weeks ago, which is utilizing the local hospitals, urgent care clinics, health departments. And although I think they're still our choice, if the purpose is a diagnostic test, and a diagnostic test is basically a test on somebody who either has COVID symptoms or has had exposure to somebody with COVID symptoms or has tested positive, our purpose in this effort is not a diagnostic testing program. It's a screening testing program, which basically means that we are looking at testing asymptomatic employees with no known exposure, right? So there's a difference about that. And because primarily of that difference, I don't think the local medical community will support us in routinely screening our employees for COVID. I don't think they have the resources, and I don't think they have the time, and I don't think we should ask them to devote those resources or time to a screening program geared at asymptomatic employees with no exposure. I think they'd be very resistant to that. So I don't think that's an option for us right off the bat. The second option would be testing that can be done at home, that can be self-administered, but is still a laboratory analysis to get the results. I think of these as, these are not point of contact testing. This is something that would, we could order tests. They could be done at home or wherever, even in the workplace by employees, but they still require sending it in to a laboratory. The advantages about that, those group of tests, is they're still NAAT tests, they're still PCR tests, they're still being analyzed professionally by a laboratory, and they are among some of the most accurate tests. The problem,
John, do those show a positive right at to the person that's taking the test, or they have to wait till it comes back from a lab?
That's the problem. By the time that somebody received the test in the mail, administered the test to themselves, packaged it up, and sent it off to a lab, even at that point, it's still 1 to 2 and possibly 3 days to get a result. And I think is shared by other folks, that is too long for a screening process. By the time we get the results from a test like that, the person that took the test would probably already be symptomatic if they had COVID. So from a routine screening program, that is not, I do not think, is a viable option for us, primarily because of the amount of time it takes to get the result. I do also want to say that that's a fairly expensive option as well. The tests are, on average, I'd say $125 a piece.
Whoa.
And so I think what's important is if we are going to consider a screening program of our employees, that I think fast results is going to be key. I don't think we can wait 2, 3, 4 days to get a result, because I think it undermines the purpose. And you know, what we want to do is we want to try to get a quick result so that we can respond quickly and take mitigation measures as quickly as we possibly can.
So, John, so this is almost like a two-part. This is, we're looking at doing testing pre-COVID, a routine test, or somebody that is asymptomatic. I mean, we're looking at, it's a two-tiered problem that we've got to consider.
Well, and I think there are two clear choices. If an employee is symptomatic or has exposure, we have a process in place.
Okay.
And part of that process would involve a PCR test that is among the most accurate. You know, but there's other parts. You know, they wouldn't. And if we were to adopt a screening program, it would be, based on my research, it would be the best choice. And that would be the rapid test antigen tests. So instead of testing for the RNA, or the ribonucleic acid of the virus, you would be testing for antigen proteins. And the this is what they call an antigen test. It's a rapid test. You can typically get the results in 15 to 30 minutes. Now, there are advantages and disadvantages to this third. This is the third of the three options that I have come up with for a program like this. And there are advantages and disadvantages. The clear advantage to me, if we wanted to implement a screening program, is the quick turnaround time. I think that's absolutely key. Another advantage to the antigen test is it's much cheaper per test. Instead of 120 or 130, it's like $30 to $35 per test. I've even seen it cheaper than that. The advantage of these tests is that they can be self-administered. They have a quick turnaround time for the results. They're relatively cheap, and there are a handful of what they call screening tests for this exact purpose that have been approved by the FDA for emergency use authorization or emergency use. So, part of this is, are there any of those tests available that have FDA approval and that have credibility? And the answer to that is yes. Now, the downside of the antigen rapid test is it's less accurate than the PCR tests. Positive results have a high accuracy rate. Negative results, much less so. Which means it's entirely possible that somebody could get a false negative. But the positivity rate on them is high. The accuracy rate for positive results is quite high and reliable. The other downside, that's the one, probably the biggest downside to the antigen tests, is they're generally less accurate than the nucleic acid amplification tests. But the other downside to it is negative results are presumptive negative results, and positive results require a confirmation sample anyway. So if somebody were to, say, for example, administer this test at work as part of a screening program, if they had a positive result, we'd still need to send them off to a clinic to get a confirmation test. The negative results do not require a confirmation test, although there is the likelihood or the higher possibility of inaccurate results. But for an asymptomatic individual who has had no known exposure, in my opinion, the less accuracy of this test is trumped by the very fast test results. And the idea behind these is you can do like serial testing. You can do serial screening. You know, you can take as many tests as you want. And eventually, if you're positive, you're going to get a positive result, and then we send that person in to get a confirmation test. So this is just a tool, a quick detection tool, but which is absolutely key for us. Quick detection, in my mind, is absolutely key, and the antigen rapid tests are the only tests that fit that bill, in my opinion. So I'll pause there and see if anybody has any questions.
Don?
Yeah, so in regards to the antigen tests, so the antigen tests are generally not very good until an individual has hit the symptomatic stage, is that correct?
I can tell you that the accuracy of the test increases if the person has symptoms. I mentioned you will have less less false negatives from a symptomatic person than you will an asymptomatic person. And I want to say that I've seen results that range from 45% accuracy to 95% accuracy on that side of the spectrum. But there's no question that, although I think generally the accuracy of them is good enough for a program like this, a positive would still require a confirmation sample. And I wanted to point something out too. In the case of this latest employee who was exposed to someone in his household with a positive COVID test and is showing potential COVID symptoms, in that case, that negative rapid test that he reported is not sufficient evidence. If that person was asymptomatic or didn't have exposure, I would not require a repeat test in that case, but for the negative result. But in this case, I definitely would.
And so, could you sort of improve that, like you were saying, by maybe testing antigen testing 2 to 3 times a week instead of just one time a week?
You could. If you figure that you've got a certain percentage of accuracy, how do you overcome that? You test more often to try to catch something. But I believe we need to find a balance there that makes sense. And one of the things I was going to talk about in item D of this, the policy considerations, if we were to implement a program like this, I think it makes sense based off of, say, the county positivity rate, that if the county positivity rate is X, we test maybe 3 times a week. However, the county positivity test drops to Y, we only maybe test 1 or 2 times a week. That was one of the things that, if we wanted to implement something like this, that I think we should factor in. I do believe that serial testing will improve our catch rate on this. However, I also want to be mindful of the staff and the cost and the amount of time and stress to staff members over a process like this. And perhaps doing it too much, if we're going to do it, it makes sense to do it often enough that we're comfortable and with the process, but I definitely think, in my opinion, we could go too far with that as well.
All right, thank you.
Dan?
As I've been following along, the first thing I'd like to say is how much I appreciate the depth of your research and your analysis and how much you're bringing to the conversation. It's extremely helpful. The other thing I wonder about is, we, as far as I can see from the agenda, we have worked through the item 4B results of the option analysis. And so I'm interested before, as I am following you and doing my own thinking about it, in the next item, in other words, your conclusions and recommendations. But so far I don't really have any questions about any of the specifics. The broader picture of what you're saying in general about CDC guidelines and that sort of thing tracks very closely with what I've been reading and hearing on news reports, but thank you.
You're welcome, and I do want to thank, I've had an input from a variety of people, and I want to thank them as well.
John, I have a question. Do you have a minute to share with the board what kind of response that you got from SBAO and our legal employee council and so forth?
Yes, I do. SBAO, I contacted somebody from their risk management team. Apparently, the right person to talk to about this. My question primarily around this, you know, employer screening of employees, and are there other special districts that are doing this? Is there any guidance from the SDAO on this? And that person got back to me after talking internally. And decided the best thing for me to do would be to inquire with our legal counsel. So, unfortunately, the SDO didn't commit to anything, but their advice is sound to talk to our legal counsel about it. And so I did that as well. Part of my question is there any legal loopholes to a program like this? And I'm pleased to report that if we just do decide to go this route, that our employment legal counsel has cleared the way for us to implement a program like this. There's nothing that would preclude us in her mind from implementing a program like this. However, we've gotten some other opinions from other folks that, does this open up any liabilities to us? Is the results of testing like this actionable? Is there possibility for, because these aren't medical professionals administering these tests to themselves, it's just normal people. Is there a possibility of contamination? What's the quality control behind something like this? All of those types of questions. And I think that those are questions that we have to consider. If we did implement a program like this, before we took any action that could potentially put us in any peril, whether it's legal or just whatever, the thing that comes to mind for me is that we would get a confirmation sample by a professional, an accurate PCR sample. We wouldn't make anybody go home and quarantine because of a positive result from a single antigen rapid test. I think we would, before any significant action was taken that impacted any of our staff, we would get a confirmation test. We would get a second opinion. In a nutshell, that's kind of the guidance I've gotten. Our HR person doesn't see much problem with a program like this. Our employment legal counsel doesn't see anything about a program like this. I do know that Gene Johnson, who does have expertise in this area, had some reservations about our ability to successfully implement a program like this on our own that is defensible and actionable, was interested to see if there's any other employers down in South County or anything doing something like this. I wasn't able to find anybody. I didn't look real hard, but I do know that Gene had some concerns, but if we... I guess I'm comforted by the fact that knowing that this is just a tool, it's a relatively low-impact process to the staff, it's a relatively low-impact process to the operations, and that any any questionable result we got, we would follow up with a confirmation test that would be from a more reliable source.
Cameron?
John, with the governor putting us back into the state of emergency, aren't we under the legalities of that we can do this because the governor has put us under the state of emergencies?
Well, I don't see a connection with that. Could you? Oh, I'm sorry, my phone's going off, but it'll quiet down.
Nice ringtone.
Could you repeat your question? And
Well, now that the governor has put us back into a state of emergency with the pandemic, would that cover anything as far as our legal action?
Well, I think we have the legal right to implement a test like this with or without that. I think if anything, it only helps to justify our decision if we go that route.
Right.
I don't think there's anything directly part of that emergency declaration that really addresses things like our employee screening or mandatory vaccines or anything along those lines. But I think if anything, it does strengthen our decision to try to go above and beyond to be sure our staff is safe. I guess that's the best I could answer that.
It worked.
Yeah. So I want to make sure, based on Cameron's question just now, that I understand what the governor did. I understand the extending the mask for outdoor close events. Did the governor actually reinstitute a state of emergency in the state?
He never suspended it in the first place. We've been under the state of emergency this whole time.
I thought it had been suspended. Okay.
Well, I actually thought it had been too, and that's why for a period of time, we didn't have to wear masks indoors anymore.
Yeah,
I believe it was suspended, but we can double check that if that becomes a real point in our process.
Thank you. Michelle?
My only concern about that is that we said for the customers that we wouldn't ask them to pay until 30 days after the state of emergency was lifted. So I'm pretty sure it was lifted, or we wouldn't have last month made the decision to start charging interest and collecting from customers again and locking them off.
Yeah, that's what I was relating it to is we wouldn't have rescinded that if the state of emergency hadn't been lifted, is my recollection.
Yeah, we can all verify that.
Yeah. Okay, so John, you want to move on to your conclusions and your recommendations?
Yeah, well, I think it falls down to a couple of things. One of the things alludes to what I said earlier in the meeting is that if a decision like this is based off of our concern that if we lost all the, if all our unvaccinated people got sick at the same time and we wouldn't be able to provide operations, I think that concern is, I think that risk is largely behind us. And that should not be a factor in our reasoning, in my opinion. However, community spread and us trying to do our part to prevent that might be. And so, I guess to me it depends on, what we think our drivers are right now to make a decision like this. Because this does exceed what most people are doing. It doesn't mean it's a bad idea. But I do also want to just reiterate that the CDC doesn't necessarily endorse an approach like this. That doesn't mean that they're always right either. I've also implemented an additional wellness check that is not as conclusive, but it's something that is commonly done to screen employees in the workplace. So my recommendation, I'll be honest with you, I'm on the fence on this because if we do a screening process, I strongly recommend that it be one of the rapid test antigen programs. However, there's a lot of details to work out and so forth. I don't know if I'm in a position to do so, but I would rather present all that evidence and also reemphasize those last few things I said and turn it over to the board if I could. I think we could install this screening program with relatively little effort and with relatively little risk, but it's still not necessarily advised. Perhaps the drivers behind a motivation like this have changed, and I guess I don't have a particular recommendation. If this is something the board thinks is prudent, I'm on board, and I think we could implement it fairly painlessly. We'd have to work out, you know, some of the details, but I would leave it up to the board at this point. I've provided you the evidence, and I think it's time to turn it over to the board to make a final decision about it.
One quick question, John. Would you recommend, if the board was to go forward with the testing program, that it be testing for all of our employees or just testing for the unvaccinated employees?
That's a very good question. I believe it should be for all employees because of the fact that we have had these Delta variant breakthroughs, and we've got more variants on the way. I think considering how cheap and relatively easy and fast these tests are, it would seem a waste to me to go through the time and effort to implement something like this and work out all the details and then exempt half the staff from the process. If we're going to do it, I believe it should be for all staff members.
And if we were to do it now that the FDA has approved at least the Pfizer vaccine, would we want to put in there that we would not do it after the positivity rate in Tillamook went to a certain level or all employees were vaccinated? Or would we still want to be testing if all employees were vaccinated?
Well, I think once all employees are vaccinated, I think we could probably forego testing because my concern about the vaccinated employees is that I can apparently still unknowingly make an unvaccinated employee sick. And I think that would be the determining factor in that. And if all employees were vaccinated, I'd be very comfortable to suspend a program like this.
Do one other question that I don't know if it truly pertains to tonight's discussion. My understanding is the insurance companies have not made an announcement yet, but they are seriously debating not covering hospitalizations of unvaccinated people. And if that is coming down the road or at least being discussed, then that's another piece to truly protect the unvaccinated people.
because I would never want to put a person in that position if anything could be done to prevent that.
Well, I was not aware of that, but I guess I'm, to be honest, I'm not surprised.
I heard the same thing, and while I think that it would have to be known to all the employees that this could be a possibility.
It's the announcement's not made yet, so we really can't make that announcement. But I've seen a couple of discussions about it in the literature, and it didn't make big headlines, and it's not been out there a lot. But that may be coming down the road, and I just want to make sure that we're looking at potentially a screening program in order to protect our unvaccinated employees and also, at this time at Tillamook County, prevent community spread. And therefore, we're looking at the possibility of screening all our employees to help with this effort at this point in time. And if we do move forward with that option, then we need to look at how long we would keep that in place and what parameters we would choose to move that to different levels.
Well, that would also go for shots or boosters also, you know, to continue the continuing care of the COVID. If we get Delta, the next one, whatever it be, it would be a continuation on.
That would seem to make sense. I'm not sure they're discussing that at this point yet. I know that from what I've read, the Lambda and the Epsilon variant are variants of interest and not yet variants of concern. So it hasn't risen to the level of looking at a variant at that level, or an additional variant. So we'll have to wait and see on that. So John's turned this back over to the board. What's the board's, let's have some discussion in terms of what individual board members feel like where we should go and what we might do, if anything. John?
I do think that we should move forward with the antigen testing program. I think that we have a legal obligation to have a safe workplace, and given the spread of COVID right now, not only at the authority but in Tillamook County in general, I think it makes really good sense to do the antigen testing program. And kind of along with that, I haven't quite sure where to put this comment, so I'm just going to throw it out. You know, I think we need to make sure that all of our employees feel like they are operating in a safe work environment. And I think that we need to reiterate to our employees that if they feel that they are not operating in a safe work environment, that they need to raise that either with their supervisor or with John or with the HR consultant. I'm a little bit nervous about Rochelle doing all of the wellness checks. I think that opens her up to, you know, input or potential exposure to 10 different employees, so I'm a little bit nervous about that. But I do think that we should be very, very careful about our employees interacting with one another and how many employees they're interacting with, and making sure that our employees do feel safe.
I'm assuming with health checks that the person that is validating, verifying things is masked up and so forth at this point.
Yeah.
Good point, Sean.
Good point.
Anne?
Well, I guess in many respects I'm feeling a little bit the same way John is. You know, I could make an argument on both sides of this question. It seems to me, if I understood John's comments earlier correctly, we have well over 50% of our employees are now vaccinated. And the other very positive step we took right away was to reinstate some pretty strict protocols for prevention. And I have seen staff around town in trucks traveling together, both having masks on, that type of thing. So I'm gonna assume that if we did have someone else that developed symptoms, that we can go back to the county testing protocol and have those tests done as we did before, and that those are fairly quick result. You were pleasantly surprised how quick, I guess. But I take that as a positive. It seems to me, and I hope that I'm right in this, this situation requires a full and willing and transparent compliance with all of the protocols we've instituted by all staff. That there aren't, you know, times when we're letting those things go. I personally have confidence in the people I know and that have worked there for however many long time. But so I feel good about that, and I hope that and trust that I'm justified in having that feeling. Whichever way we went with this, whether we instituted a screening testing with an antigen test now, and if so, how often? I think John has laid out clearly what the actions would be should there be a positive antigen test. I think that's pretty clear cut. But I am very concerned about the unreliability of the antigen test. So that part of my brain is saying, what do we really accomplish by doing this? As long as we can trust that our staff do speak up if and when they have symptoms or have a known exposure. That's where my conflict is in a big way. It is a very, very dynamic situation. This is not something that we can make one decision today and expect that it will be the decision that's right 2 weeks from now. In other words, I guess what I'm saying there is if we chose not to proceed with this right now, I feel like I have a tremendous benefit of information and thought process, and this issue could be revisited in a week or 2 weeks if we needed to. I'm comfortable not instituting a policy right now. So I'll just stop there. That's kind of my thinking on it.
Thank you. Cameron?
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of thinking this like as maybe as possibility as setting it up as like our if you suspect somebody of drinking, maybe of doing like that. If you think that you might be, let's do the testing, you know. Mandating it, you know, for all employees, it's hard. I think if any new employees come, I'd like to see them get vaccinated. If they're not, I'd like to see it as terms of employment. I don't know how everybody feels about that. I just think that anything we can do to keep people safe and not be a spreader or a spread of the COVID or whatever next variants we're going to get, because this is not going to end here. This is going to continue. And I think that if we, you know, knock something out of the park now and take care of it, I think we'll far be better off. So.
Sean?
Yeah, just another comment. I guess, and I hear what y'all are saying. To me, I don't see the major downside to doing an antigen testing program. I understand that it's not super accurate. It's not as accurate as a PCR test. And I understand we're not trained professionals. Our staff is not trained medical professionals doing it. But, you know, to me, I think even if it gives us a little extra cushion for keeping our employees safe, I think it's worth it. I mean, you know, we had a meeting a couple of months ago where we voted to spend $23,000 to get internet service out at Horn Creek. So, you know, to me, spending a little bit of money to keep our employees safe, even if it only makes them 10 or 15 or 20% safer, I think with this virus raging, and I think Cameron's right, this thing is not done yet. We're going to have this thing with us for the rest of our lives. It's going to come back in a worse form every year. We're going to have to get booster shots every year. I just think our employees are worth spending a little bit of money on trying to keep them safe.
Ann?
If anything I said implied that cost was a factor in my thinking, that was absolutely not the case. That the cost does not even enter into my thinking about this. I am interested in and have not heard of any similar programs being instituted at the county level or by other water sewer districts or city governments or any of those kinds of things yet. Mm-hmm. And I guess part of my mind goes to why not? Because this is a discussion they must be having on some level anyway.
That's very true, and this is not an easy piece. So let me weigh in with my nursing experience. I can't tell you how many articles I've been reading where my eyes have glazed over. There's so much science that is not known here, and trying to wade through all of the documentation is extremely difficult. Personally, at this point, I would like to see us institute at least weekly antigen testing when the county positivity rate is above somewhere between 12 and 16%. Because it seems like when you get the county positivity rate at that level, you have such a community spread that you almost can't go anywhere without assuming that you're going to contact somebody that may have it or may have been exposed. And that, I believe, puts not only the community at risk, but also our employee health at risk. I do believe there are a lot of companies considering antigen testing, but most companies that are really looking at testing have daily exposure to customers or people that they serve. And it appears to me that those companies are all going to vaccine requirement, whether it be long-term care providers, medical providers, teachers, large corporations that have retail units in every city. I believe that by the end of October, we'll be seeing vaccine mandates. I don't think we're ready for a vaccine mandate because we are a small operation. It has not yet been advised at our level, and I would hate to see us go that direction as a test case, since there are some true legal and liability issues yet to be resolved on that side. I believe that our employees are probably avoiding COVID as much as they can. And I do appreciate that and hesitate when I know how good they are at avoiding it. We've been a year plus into this pandemic, and it wasn't until several weeks ago that our first out-of-work case happened. And I'm very proud that we have had no contagious at the workplace or in the workplace, where there have been a lot of companies in Tillamook County that have been reported and on the list for having multiple cases over multiple weeks because people have infected each other on the job. We haven't had that because our folks are staying tuned in. At the same time, the pandemic's not over. The variants that may come out of this because of community spread at this point may be more serious than what we're dealing with at this point. and looking way forward in the future, there is belief in the scientific community that pandemics will be a thing of the next 50 years, that we will continually encounter them. So if we are in a situation where we have the ability to make a decision that has relatively low impact for a short period of time in order to protect our employees and community spread, maybe this is a good time to make a stab at it, get policies in place, and to do it for a short period of time, see what we get from it, see how it works for us, and do a good evaluation. It may prepare us for something in the future that we need to deal with. The other thing about the antigen test is it reports accurately 50% of the positive cases. And as John said earlier, that may go as high as 70 or 80%. I think the accuracy or the reporting, accurately reporting the positive cases is getting better as the FDA this week just took the, went from having 5 approved antigen test options to, I think there's 30 or 33 more they have now added to the list. So the science is getting better in there, and I think the testing will become better as time goes along. So, yes, they are not accurate, but they do catch 50% of the cases that have been tested out there, and I think that if we even caught one early, it might save us a whole lot of headache. And if it kept even one of our employees out of the hospital because we caught it early enough and they didn't pass it to somebody else, the time and energy and money that goes into that, I think would be worth it at this point. So that's my personal viewpoint.
Hey, Cameron? Carolyn? I just found out, you know, with my wife being off work, and the reason why the casino, well, one of the reasons, they had 7 employees that had come down with COVID. Now I just heard one of the employees had just passed. And she was a very, it breaks my heart because she was a very well-liked person. And I would hate to see any one of our employees, you know, it's inevitable. It's going to hit somebody close to home. And if we could do something, I'd feel better. You know, I think we need to be proactive on this, of getting shots, getting boosters, and testing, because it is the wave of the future. It is. And I think I'd like to see the board take a stance and say, yes, we will do testing, we will pay for vaccinated, and for boosters. We highly recommend it. You know, because we can't lose one employee. We can't. Or a family member. It's devastating. If you lost your husband or anybody lost their loved one, it's just devastating. It's just heartbreaking. And that person, you know, they get 3 days paid off bereavement. Shit, they're going to be breathing for the next 50 years. And I would feel bad if we didn't do something about it. I really would. It's nothing to take lightly.
Thank you, Cameron. You're very true. Until it hits home, it sometimes seems so far away.
Yeah.
Anne?
Anne, and for all of us that are here tonight, part of this discussion, I want to say I really appreciate how seriously we're all taking it and how we are having a conversation that entertains pros and cons and listening to all of that. And you're absolutely right, Cameron. I think we would all agree that maybe an ounce of prevention is probably worth a pound of cure. If we are going to suggest or decide tonight that we would institute a testing program, would it be useful to talk through some of the parameters of that now, or would it be better to just each of us kind of toss out some things that seem important to us in the process and let John take it from there to create a program? or because I'm thinking we've discussed weekly testing. We've discussed what steps would be taken if there was a positive antigen test. Would our action tonight, if we instituted a program, need to include that level of detail, or would we authorize the authority manager to create that level of detail?
I think we should do that. I think he's on the ball. I mean, he's got a good feeling of how we're feeling. You know, he's one of us now, whether he likes it or not. But I think, yeah, John, what's your take?
Well, if you look at the very last item on the agenda, I predicted that the decision of the board, good chance would be to pass a motion or whatever to implement a policy like this. And there are a lot of considerations. I think the first thing that we would need to do would be to put on paper what our policy is, what's the rules of the road. As you mentioned, Carolyn, do we test once a week when the county positivity rate is X? Do we test twice a week when it's Y? I have a feeling that it would be appropriate. Doesn't mean I want to, but it would be appropriate for me to piece together the details of a program like this and put it in writing as a what I think the policy would be in writing and try to cover the various scenarios and try to predict some of the issues and also address quality control measures. I think there's a lot. If we implement a program like this, I think it has to be very structured. It has to be well managed, and because I think it's probably my role in a situation like this at this point, I would say that I would put together a first stab at some kind of a written policy that answers and covers all these scenarios and questions, and then I would bring it before the board for approval. And then once approved, we would begin the implementation of the program. I can say that just because an antigen test is available doesn't mean it's necessarily approved or recommended for screening. There may be 35 or 40 antigen tests out there, but there may only be 5 or 6 that are currently recommended for screening. I've got a list of 5 or 6 of them that I know has received FDA emergency use authorization for this very purpose. And so, picking the test that we're going to use is no small part of, weeding out the particular test we're going to use is no small part of implementing a policy like this. And I think I would want to review any technical documents on the authorization of these. Try to find something that is has preliminary results that are the best, and probably lean toward that direction. But most importantly, select an antigen rapid test that has been approved specifically for this purpose. So I would just throw that out there as what I imagine the next steps would be, but I'd like to get the board's thought on that.
I think it should be a weekly. Oh, sorry.
Don, go ahead.
I hear what you're saying. I guess I just find myself wondering if could we kind of get the testing going at the same time we're trying to figure all that stuff out. I'm just worried about the fact that the Delta variant isn't going to wait for us to come up with a policy. So is there any way we could do just let's, what if we took a stab in the dark, said, okay, tomorrow we're going to pick the test that we think is the best on a preliminary look, and we're going to start implementing it once a week. At the same time, we kind of go forward and John comes up with a program that we could then adapt or change or do something later. I really worry that we don't have 2 to 3 weeks to come up with this policy, given the spread that's going on in Tillamook County right now.
Yes, John?
I think that makes sense. I think, you know, the initial effort could be spent picking a particular test. We could get it on order. And in the meantime, we could be working out the fine details.
Ann?
I forgot. Did Cameron have something?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Cameron?
I think, I agree. I'd like to see a weekly testing and then see how things go. And then as needed, like our drug policy, if, you know, somebody thinks the possibility they might be sick, let's, you know, do a test. Yeah, I'm all in favor.
Ann?
Yeah, I'm following the conversation and trying to come off of the teeter-totter I'm on here, but I would be supportive of a weekly testing protocol and for all employees. I appreciate that part. And I would be looking to the policy, although I'm not prepared to suggest what the language would be, I would look for the policy to incorporate some specific language about process, that the employee be accompanied in the, it's kind of like the process you've implemented for the health checks, when people come to work, that there is somebody else there seeing the test be done. Some of the tests require medical training. I don't think the tests we're talking about would require medical training, but I do think that there's a level of importance of consistency in how things are done, and so having another person in the room when the test is done, I think would be useful also to just for any potential liability issues that might come up later on. We would be able to verify that two people were present when that test was done and what the results were. But beyond that, as far as specifics of a policy, I wouldn't feel as though at this point I could recommend anything else.
Okay, so John, go ahead, John.
Well, I did want to say that, you know, one thing, even if we moved swiftly on this and then kind of put together the elements of the program as we go, or, you know, just for expediency, you know, let's get on with the testing and the ordering of the tests. There is a scenario that I think we have to be prepared to answer, and I don't expect this, but what if an employee refused to participate? And, you know, if we're going to do this, you know, it needs to have some teeth, and I don't anticipate that happening. I truly don't. But we probably at the very least need to talk about what our response would be if that occurred.
Terms of employment. That's how I would.
What is the legal answer on that, John?
For me?
Yeah, what is the legal answer? Can we require it? Can they refuse? What? I mean, there's precedence out there that is more than, I think, our opinion.
Well, I haven't, I tell you what, I haven't, I haven't specifically asked that question of our legal counsel. I think I should, but I do believe, just like we apparently have the right to go even further than this and make it a condition of employment, I believe that we can make it a condition of employment here. And in fact, if we don't, I think we'd be making a mistake, because this is either a policy that applies to all or it's not. And I think probably I would consult with our legal counsel just to be sure, but I would guess that this would be the only recourse in the way these things would be typically handled.
Dan, do we know at any point in any of our conversations if this would be analogous to our drug testing program that has been in effect forever, as far as I know?
I think the drug testing program is mandated by the state. It's not a decision that only we make. Whereas
okay, thank
this,
you.
We're out there in a different, a little bit of a different ballgame. I think what
yes.
may be important when we think about mandating that all take it is to focus on the piece that we are only looking at this testing when positivity rate exceeds a point where community spread is likely to affect our unvaccinated staff. And that truly is our concern, is not trying to put in something that somebody has to do, but protection of people that don't have any protection at this point. And that's our only driving force in this. It doesn't have to do with any punitive action or any lifestyle, dictating any lifestyle. It truly is trying to protect people's health. And I wouldn't think that we would want to test when the positivity rate is down below about 12 to 15%. I'm not sure what that exact cutoff would be. And I would expect once it gets above 20, we might want to look at twice a week. Just in terms of how the county, the state, and the feds have responded to a degree of community spread, that's what we've been relying on to guide us in what, where, and how our behavior changes. And, you know, as you said earlier, now that we're being asked to wear masks outside again, I think that was triggered by the not only the positivity rate, but the number of cases and the facts that we have so few beds for anybody that does get sick or that needs emergency treatment in another way. And it is affecting the quality of care that people will receive, whether they get in a boat accident or whether they get sick with COVID. And that can't happen. We're in a state where we have less ICU beds than most other states because the health of our state is better than most states. And so we get into an emergency situation like this, it puts all of us at a greater risk, and we need to figure out some way to get out of that. So I think, John, you have the full support of the board to move forward with testing, and the details of that, as you get drafts of information, you know, let us know where you want our feedback, and we will officially adopt a policy when it is ready. Until then, you can expect us to be honest with our opinions, with what's coming from you, and we have found in a very short time, having you lead our organization, that you have the skill and the ability to make hard decisions, especially ones that are needed in this case. So I think we're good on this front, unless my colleagues have any other additional questions or comments to add.
Right. No, I just agree with that, Carolyn, and thank you for saying it so well.
Stay safe.
All right. Then it's 6:30, and John, you need anything else from us at this point?
Not at this point, but I will be moving. I'll get started on this tomorrow.
All right. Then it is 6:30, and I will adjourn our meeting. Thank you all for your input and your patience and your opinions.